Okay, this is good, right? How y'all
feel? Good afternoon, everyone. How are we feeling? It's giving mid. We're at the Boston Book Festival. Can we make some noise? I am so honored to be here with you all today. This is feels like a second home to me. As you all know, we have GBH in the background, which I also host Outspoken Saturdays over here. So the next one will be November 2nd. So just like you found us today, you can find us there on next Saturday. Cool?
Cool.
Cool. Cool. I love an interactive audience. So before I read my spiel, and if I know you, I will probably name you out in the crowd, so don't. Now is not the time to be shy. Before I read that, I just want to get some temp check, okay? Can we get some snaps? Can we get some yes? Can we get a hootie hoo? And can we just get some round of applause for yourselves? I know that's right. Okay, so that was the test. Right? So I need y'all to be with me the entire time because as a poet, as an artist, as a creative, as an orator, it is extremely hard to get up here in front of a room full of people that you know and some that you do and speak your truth. And that's what we're doing here at Poetry Off the Page. Can I get some yes, some noise? With that being said, I want to welcome everybody, which I feel like I did, and we're kind of warmed up so we can get into the spiel. We at Mass Poetry are proud to co-sponsor a track of 8 poetry events at this year's Boston Book Festival. From hosting Massachusetts Poetry Festival in Salem, Mass, and the Teen Spoken Word Festival in Boston, Massachusetts, to placing poets in residence in partner schools, Mass Poetry aims to build a community that lifts all voices. Cool? Cool. We would like to, We would like to begin by first respectfully acknowledging that Mass Poetry and Boston, Massachusetts are on the ancestral land of Massachusetts, Wampanoag, and Nipmuc peoples. Many other indigenous communities have lived and moved through this land over hundreds of years, and many indigenous people work and live in these regions today. Let's take a moment to honor all those ancestral grounds that we are collectively gathered upon and support the resilience and strength that all indigenous people have shown worldwide. I saw somebody in the crowd that wanted to clap, but we had to give a moment of silence. Okay, with that being said, you can clap in a minute, I saw you. We invite you to get more involved with Mass Poetry, whether by visiting us at the Center for Creative Writing in the Seaport. Y'all know where the Seaport is, yes? Okay, or attending any of our festivals and programming. Find out more and how at our website, masspoetry.org. We'd also love to see you at our Mass Poetry tent today, located right outside of the Boston Public Library on 100 Dartmouth Street at Tent 10. Who's gonna go? Okay, perfect, perfect. I love the show of hands. While there, you can participate in our blackout poetry activity using passages from some famous works. We want to thank our partner, the Boston Book Festival, as well to you, our incredible audience and participants. I hope you all enjoy the event. With that being said, are y'all ready for some poetry? I told you if it was mid, we ain't gonna get started. Are y'all ready for some poetry? My name is Amanda Shea, and I am your host for today, and I'm going to start us off by being what we call in the poetry world the sacrificial lamb. So, with that being said, this is my poem, God's Gift. Gift of Gab, God's plan, the natural ability to unapologetically tell my truths, my journey, no matter how ugly, light shines through. Padded walls encased, protect me from imposters, the syndrome I suffer from. Ancestors are like, bruh. Whispering encouragement through the leaves of our roots. Words are spells, generational curses, cursing every day to declare my own testimony, gospel.
Welcome to my congregation, where my pen draws out all my traumas. No need to pull me into the pulpit. I pen my own liberation to help my brothers and sisters heal. Yeah, it's written, destined, God's gift, one of the greatest blessings on earth. Thank you.
So I need y'all to keep that energy super high for our next speaker. We have so many beautiful speakers today, and I need all that love, all that energy, high, high energy for Princess Moon!
Love you.
Hi, everyone. How y'all doing today? Good? Are you sure? You're a little quiet. So one thing about me is I'm super shy. So if you give me shy vibes, I might give that back. But I have two poems I'd love to share with y'all today. They're both about family photos and how being the daughter and a mother at the same time, I feel like I'm in the middle of two generations, and writing is one of my ways of being my family's historian. So I hope you enjoy these poems. This first one is called Family Album. Mom doesn't like to take pictures. The only photo we have together is of us on our front steps. Me in my prom gown, her with the biggest I've ever seen her smile. Her porcelain is something that I was born into, fragile and small, easily broken. We repainted the whole entire first floor last week. Mom took the family photos off the living room walls. We stare at the new blank slate. I want to teach her how to love herself again. Dad is in three photos. He is holding me in all of them. He is helping me pick apples today. He whispers, "Let the fruit fall from the tree. If it spoils before you can bite into it, let it plant life right in front of you." I've been trying to grow myself a father ever since. Dad has bad teeth. I'm convinced he has a mouthful of bruised apple and blistering ego. My parents met during the genocide. Dad inherited a jewelry store in his dirt-rich village. Mom was a pretty city girl. It was the glory years, the ultimate love story. Find a lover your age, run fast enough to plant life before they could catch you. But they never taught me how to love. They only taught me how to screw around like I would run out of life. Mom collects porcelain figurines and fancy china sets. She leaves these all in display cases in the dining room. We haven't shared a meal together in years. On the nights when the house spirit doesn't scare me bad enough, I kneel down and carve my fingernails into the flesh of the living room walls. My therapist says that family photos are my instant triggers. When I date someone who comes from a big family, I want to turn them all into ghosts. All the boys I've loved come from big families. They invite me over for dinner. I try my best not to turn my knife into a battle cry. I sit still and smile. Carve the fork along the blues in my arms, trying to trace back to where my parents met and disassemble their paths before they even cross. Mom still hasn't put the family photos back onto the living room walls. Wow. I say, let's fill the frames with baby birds that jump to their death in the song cry of an abandoned bee. I hear the house spirit screaming at me through the walls. I keep it trapped inside a home that will never learn how to sing its name. She frowns at me, cries at the sight of me performing my own autopsy, stretches her arms across the walls. I ask, isn't this how a family photo works? We plant each other onto the walls so that strangers will envy us, right? She stares at me, cries at the sight of me performing my own autopsy.
Wow. Yeah.
She whispers, "Honeybee, where'd you get those teeth? You look so much like your father with that smile." Thank you so much. Thank you. Hi. I have my family in the front row. Thank you for coming. We were just in the children's library listening to the authors read and everything. The festival has been fun for all of us, so thank you for having me. I'm really honored to be here. I'm going to read one more poem. It's pretty short. This one's called The Act of Disappearing. I wrote this a really long time ago, but I haven't really read it out loud, so I'm still thinking of it as new shit, so new shit. Thank you. This is The Act of Disappearing. Also, one theme about my poetry is I love really to write really scary, spooky things. So October is just my month, so I'm glad you're all here to witness this. This is The Act of Disappearing. There's a photo of my sister in the backyard of our California home. There are big flowers, the kind that only sprout when there is love in the air. She is young. I am not born yet. She looks really happy. The last few times I've talked to her, she seemed happy. For once, maybe pretending almost as if the sadness was never there. You see, my sister has been a missing person for over a year. My family, we just assume that she is okay, that she does not want to be found because we cannot bring ourselves to fully believe that she was ever even here in the first place. You see, my family is an album of secrets. We are all water-damaged photos, bad exposure, blurry. At a young age, we are all taught the act of disappearing. I wonder if my mother is a skilled gardener from all the children she has had to use for fertilizer. Like every time a part of us goes missing, my mother digs a new spot for us in the yard. If she plants our ashes as seeds and says a little prayer, do you think we would be whole again? If every time she buries us, she weeps long enough to water the garden for weeks, enough time to teach us how to drown. A year ago, my mother's peach tree finally started to bear fruit against the green, these fuzzy little heads. Thank you so much.
Wow, 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 wow. Please give one more round of applause for Princess Moon. And I need you to keep that energy going because next up we have Yasma. Love you.
Hi, everybody. Can y'all hear me?
No. Oh. Hey. How y'all feeling?
Good.
Yes? Give yourselves a round of applause for being here. Did you meet any cool authors today? Any cool books? I'm so excited to be here. I go by the name of Yasma. I am a Boston-based spoken word artist, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you to the Boston Book Festival. Thank you to Mass Poetry, Amanda Shea, everybody that's part of the team that's hosting today. I'm really, really excited. Y'all excited?
Yeah!
Woo! It's so funny because I had coffee this morning, And I just had another drink, but just like, you know, with a little cream, nothing crazy. And I feel like my heart's racing. You feel that, right? You understand me. Thank you. I thought it was just me. This first piece is a new piece that I'm really, really excited to share with everybody here today. It's called Future Museums. Don't be afraid to, you know, a little snap, snap, but only if you feel like it. Yes, yes. Okay. I wonder what streets will become historic, what buildings kids will visit on field trips, what homes will turn into museums that kids get to walk through for free until graduation. I wonder what languages will go through another cycle of dialects, which words will die with one last breath, eagerly leaving the neck of someone who didn't know their language will be lost. I wonder what names will be embossed on pillars to introduce the youth to revolution. I wonder if the kids will live in a time where African nations got their restitution and fly to museums across the world to experience lineage. I wonder if our dedication to freedom makes us seem delirious, anxiety-ridden days. Are we taking life too serious? I wonder if the kids will be forced to read Shakespeare or care about the Mona Lisa. I wonder if they'll dance around her Majo Mona Lisa. I wonder if the kids would know who Nas is. I know I can play back old records, but will the kids know what a record is? I hope the kids sing songs of our liberation. Will our protests be in e-books if textbooks go extinct? Will our digital footprint be saved in the archives and the kids will need special permission to read more about our lives? I wonder if the kids would know that vibes popularized more life. I wonder if the kids would know God before 69 God. Will our scars be too much for the Museum of Fine Arts? Is our pain gonna be robbed again for monetary gain? Will we memorialize victims of hate crimes, or will it be pieces of Ocean Gate? Our hearts will go on like Celine Dion. Will paintings of genocide be translated to the same language that called for it? Are neighborhoods being torn down to build condos and exhibits, insufficient funds to make it out of insufficient funds? Will Juneteenth be just another day off, or will the Museum of Science teach the science of freedom? The Barclays will be the New Age Coliseum. Mummies are really bodies wrapped in blood-stained cloth. Yes, sir, cut from a different cloth, the same cloth from clothes of those who beg to be seen. Now recycling graves is a way to make our ecosystem more green. Treating biker lanes more humane than Rikers, will prison museums commemorate survivors? Too many like her. Who's to say there won't be a history designer? One who decides what panda to admire, which car to drive, and whose names go unheard of. Henrietta still deserves her flowers, but that would require admission, and those cowards couldn't admit they didn't have permission, so they sat in their kitchens with her cells. They should have been in cells. I wonder if the kids would know who Bissan is. Will they paint us on ceilings so that we never die? I am still alive on every line, so her presence is. Will students write research papers on how slavery never really ended, it just evolved? Mysterious debts still unresolved, but maybe they'll find the hidden police records to finally solve what happened to Sandra. Will our mugshots be glorified or hidden, students arrested for supporting the forbidden fruit? How many times will history be rewritten to finally tell the truth? Whose glasses will we be looking through? Is it a broken glass or mass hysteria? Mass incarcerations, mass deportations, mass shootings, Boston bombing in Massachusetts. I wonder if the kids will think why we didn't fight harder. We fought as hard as we could. We are spiritual martyrs. We're creating history now. That last line is history now. I wonder if the kids would be moved by it. I wonder if our stories would sound like Greek myths. I wonder whatever they'll sit back and reminisce. I wonder if they'll ever wonder who's writing this. Thank you.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you. Right?
Thank you, guys. I ain't gonna lie, the coffee got me thirsty, okay? I came today with the purpose of performing one piece, knowing that I had a little bit more time, but I wasn't sure what my second piece was gonna be, and I knew that in this moment I would just perform whatever I feel called to perform. I tend to do this sometimes. But with that being said, I feel like my next piece is gonna be one of my favorite pieces. It is currently published in the anthology, How We Take Up Space by Nakia Hill. She is a Boston-based artist, and I'm really, really excited to shout out her book and also shout out this piece. Shout out, yeah. This piece is called The Laundromat. It's an oldie but a goodie, you know what I mean? Is it muffled? I feel like it's kind of muffled, but maybe it's just for me. It's just, okay, it's just me. I'm moving too much. The laundromat behind my house closed down, so we had to go to the one down the street. I went to get my laundry done. The sign said closed for business, and all that was standing on was the concrete. The closest laundromat was a mile away, next to some condos rising for projects in their driveway. Houses being burnt down to collect insurance money, to renovate a spot and charge three times the money. Displacing the locals because capitalism made us its ish. They charged $1 million for a two-story and charging three to be rich. I work hard because I have expensive taste, but our taste is only as good as survival's aftertaste. Surviving the streets when you'd almost get hit and there's no receipts. No one approved, your heart almost stopped instead of just skipped the beat. Streets are becoming sidewalks to balance their balance sheets. Were we not good enough to create sidewalks on the street? And we cried because of gang violence, they handed us a tissue. So you treat the rich like richness and our hoods become bijou. Y'all establish cultural codes and color lines. You move into our cities and say you colorblind. And when I pray five times a day, you randomly search me at the airline. You institutionalize racism and pumped our cities with drugs and liquor. You don't want us, but you want to look the picture. You don't want urban, so you made Urban Outfitters. Are we only living to live when convenience stores get shut down? Where am I going to buy my chips? Are we only living to live when laundromats get shut down? Where am I gonna clean my fits? All that's left is small business loans for shut down small businesses. These modern day hoods shifting these modern day times, systemic racism shifting our hoods like paradigm. Terrorizing people to say are terrorizing them, antagonizing people while they slowly killing them. Slaving away while they say slavery is dead, yeah, incarcerated inmates work with no pay, receiving no bread. We playing hopscotch on our plucks. How we gonna find another? How we gonna replicate our lives, asking us to rediscover? How we gonna sell our resources to the same people that saw butter and said, I can't believe it's not butter? Instead of selling our homes for $1 million and wonder where are we gonna go, the million is gonna get taxed and sent you to places where they got boasts and boast shows. You selling your life for another man's life that's not your own. It's time to buy back our hoods to help the cash flow, not penny loans. A corporation bought the church down my street. We can't even pray to Jesus while y'all kissing money on his feet. They trying to push us out, but how much more hood can you be? Well, you can't afford insurance in your own home. I guess it's the same as not affording it on the street. Minimum wage can't even pay for the beds we lay. Minimum wage can't even pay no sick time or holiday. A dollar raise at the end of the year, minimum wage plus one is dry foreplay. Let them drown in their forsaken lives, swimming in the money bags while they try to learn our slang, taking cool pics in the city, shouting gang, 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 gang. But y'all don't even know what a gang, gang is. You want the city so bad, you gonna get every aspect of it. Spending every morning at 5 ain't even the half of it. Going to vegan restaurants because that's what's in. When Hindus been doing that for the better of their skin. And intermittent fasting is now a thing. But Muslims been doing that since God told them to fast, not sin. They're pushing us out because living in the city is litty. At family money, buying and renting our homes, tearing down laundromats and convenience stores. On every street, there's only condos and homes. When I want to wash my clothes, where do I go? Old-fashioned like my mama, I'ma wash them with my hands. Dry them on my balcony, on my favorite local brands. I'm washing my clothes, swim in the washer. 10 minutes left before I put them in the dryer. Two little boys putting quarters in the candy machine and the owner of this business folding clothes, not knowing what this laundromat's fate will be. And if this shuts down, I don't know where she'd be. Gentrification is an atrocity. I saw an old friend on the Blue Line the other day, and he told me he didn't know I lived in Eastie, and he asked me how I liked it. My neck almost broke, and I told him I was born and raised here. Then I asked him, how do you like it? Thank you.
Y'all give it up one more time for Yasma. We're still here for a treat, right? Yes. Can I get a round of applause for everybody who is staying and being all the way immersed in what the poets are saying? Thank you. With that being said, please put your hands together for Maria!
All right. Can we give another round of applause for Amanda? I've never seen, whenever I see that she's hosting, I'm like, this is gonna be a fantastic event. Oh my goodness. Alrighty. Here we go. Shout out to you guys for being here. You did not have to be here, but you are. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening. Alrighty, so I'm gonna start off with a new one. You guys are the first to hear this. Your ears are the first to be blessed, maybe, with this poem. So shout out when you like it, snap, make some noise. Maybe not interrupt me, but come close. All right. Hold it. Sometimes art isn't art. Just mind, just thought. And words are just words, lines, and dots, a binary of what we hope to say. And sometimes I struggle to not believe everything I hear. So I hand you the question, what do we consider art? And before the hinge of your vocal cords creak open to don your answer, I tell you that artist Pedro Reyes took 6,700 confiscated guns and turned them into musical instruments. Claimed the position of maker and unmasked violence, took it by its bootstrings, shook it upside down, and made a glockenspiel out of its lunch money. So, then I ask you, who is anyone to call something not art? To say this isn't Belle Beautiful, call sunsets anything other than the Earth's exhale, when a dandelion can become a flower depending on who is holding it, who is to say its petals weren't there to begin with? Who are you to say what art isn't? Who are you to dictate expression? Tell me why anyone should give into something smaller than them, use self-deprecation where pride should be, suppress any feeling of satisfaction as to not appear vain in the presence of fragility. We say the point is not the points, the point is the poetry, and still poets are calling their work anything less than extraordinary. So I ask, what has our craft of romance and revolution come to? I will not demean my dandelions to nearly weeds, if only to dull my garden in the wake of you. When you hand me a bouquet of yellow bells, I will call it sun, tell you the brushstrokes of your breath deserve an audience of their own, and all the while I won't lie, claim perfection with a genocide on anxiety in front of this mic, tell you my kitchen sink is spotless, hide the expired milk in my fridge. I won't play pretend and claim perfect confidence. Instead, I will tell you that you are an engineer, an artist, tuning the barrel of a rifle and commanding the arteries that live for art, pulling the trigger on every string stretched out on the neck of violence, disarming every weapon you have felt, and still, without a shot fired, making everyone move. Thank you. Cool. All right. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. And I'm gonna say one thing before I go into my next poem and then walk off. I just graduated last spring. So if there's anyone, if anyone is in the audience right now and they're like, man, I wanna do this, but they're also old. You're not, I'm sorry. But they're all all like so much older than me. I'm sure they had like, they live in an apartment, stuff like that. I'm so sorry. But you can do, I did this maybe like my freshman, sophomore year of high school, started doing this in middle school. Nothing stopping you. I took the YouTube, took a pen and paper, and I just went at it at my mirror, and I just like, so shout out to that, it's beautiful. All right. Here's my next poem. This is like my, I guess my old reliable, and I believe that it connects with a lot of people, which I'm really grateful for. And before I do it, a content warning for suicide and self-harm. This is not a toy. I counted 11 iron pills on the floor of my parents' bathroom that day. Push and twist to open. It wasn't my first time on that tile floor. Keep out of reach of children. I wasn't a child. Though the second I pushed and twisted, I became the toy to myself, one that came exhausted. My skin, black scratch paper, except there was no black left to scratch. My lungs, dried clay, heavy and littered with rocks. And they say, it is selfish. But I believed I had been selfless for too long, that my lifeless body was better off in a coffin, not on 2 feet. And I loved myself with crooked letters. Tried to spell C-O-N-T-E-N-T when off my tongue rolled C-O-N-T-E-M-P-T. And I could envision what I wished to be revisions. I wished my hands would become feathers. My last breath, a cool breeze, despite the weather. I wished to kiss the edges of living, walk the fault line between surviving and thriving. I wished my skin be stretched out on canvas. Every mole, mark, line, and blemish, a panorama of my memories. I wish my words be a requiem and my laugh a motif that can still be heard. An open letter to those who find suicide illogical. It is not my job to make you understand. For making you understand would be forcing you to feel. And though your words hurt, I am not cruel enough to bury you. This is not to say that suicide is the answer. Open letter to those on the bathroom floor. I will not tell you it gets better, though it does, because empty promises like those seem as useful as empty pill bottles when the bottom of the barrel is where you have been sent to spend your time. So tell me how you have fought relentlessly. Unclench your fists, relax your shoulders, lay down on the tile floor and stare at the light that shines back at you. Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Holy sh.
Please. Give another round of applause for Maria. Powerful. We are ending our program promptly at 4:10, but we have one last speaker. So please put your hands together loud and proud for our last speaker, D-Ro!
Oh, all right, so I'll keep this short, keep this sweet, make sure we can get out of here on time. All right, so I'm used to an active listening community, okay? And what that means is if you've been to or have seen a Black Baptist church, when the pastor goes up to the pulpit and preaches to the congregation, when the congregation's feeling the word, usually you'll get an amen, a hallelujah, a thank you, Jesus. You might get a stomp and a clap and a little tambourine, right? Now, you don't have to give me those same exact expressions, but definitely give me that same exact energy, because we all came here to make sure you guys are entertained. So give me great energy. I'll give you guys a great show. Cool? Okay. That was polite. Now,
in between my poems, so that way there's not that long, awkward, poetic silence. Whenever I say, if you can feel it, I would...
Hey, we got new people. We got new people here. All right. So just like them, whenever I say, if you can feel it, I would love for you guys to reply back, you can speak it and say it like you mean it. Okay?
All right. So I'm going to start with this one poem, and then if we have time, I'll throw in a second one. But right now, I want to at least get this one right here. If you can feel it,
you can see it.
I don't need to go to Iraq, because I'm in a war of my own, watching a new dream here be shattered with the chrome, because going on is all of this shit that we can't condone, but it's bad when you're with the crew, because there's a Judas in every home. But how are we going to stop visuals from getting the intellectuals who think we're a bunch of animals because of some individuals? This is critical. People aren't wanting to hear any of the spirituals because they're not loving our women when we could be loving these materials. See, in this place, I don't feel safe. With gold chains around my neck and wrist, I'm the new American slave with rivals amongst my group and with others. But how are we enemies and we supposed to be brothers? And how are we hitting our women and we supposed to be lovers? I guess we stooped down to disgracing our mothers. See, before this, our ancestors were being whipped on their back. Even though that wasn't us, we just still feel that rage from that leather on our back. We just still feel the pain because the scars are not done. We're like Kunta in our own ways, trying to run for freedom. But there is none. Everywhere we go, there's dead ends and roadblocks. Certain people going through walls when they're Milwaukee and buck shots. They're quick to catch Kobe, but not the murderers of Biggie and Pac. By this, we can kind of find out who's in and who's not. And these same people want me to follow in their path because of my light skin. But I can't follow in their path because of my past. Under my eyes, there were bags. My brothers wore rags. And some of them still get mad because we're glad. Then they wonder why we get stuck in a system. Live and die by a system. Get screwed by the system. So we're saying, forget your system. I've already been handed a hood death sentence. I don't need to be told what your judge and jury in my presence. See, sometimes I don't want to be me, yet I get Latin people, Asian people, even certain white people that want to be me. But is there something that they see that I'm just blind to? Or is it because they're getting tired of being viewed? So you want to get mad when I call most authorities thieves, but don't forget you stole me in this land you call the free. So let's get this straight. This isn't the land of the free. This is the land of the legal criminals. But I can't leave. But I can't breathe in the truth when I inhale lies. People don't see this, so they swarm to this rotting country like flies. I don't really like them taking what's mine, but is that the capitalist in me or a part of me that needs to die? I can't decide. But I need to stop complaining about me because there are immigrants that want to be where I be. If you can feel it,
you can see it.
Hold on, wait, let me. All right, so thank you guys so much. I did put out a book in 2012. I will be releasing next year. Fingers crossed. So that was one of the poems out of that book. So thank you guys so much for being here on your Saturday during this wonderful fall weather that we're having. Enjoy the pumpkin spice and all the beautiful things. Thank you, Mass Poetry. Thank you, guys. And also Boston Book Festival. Thank you, guys. Amanda, you're amazing.
You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Please put your hands together one more again for D. Rose. I also need you all to give a big round of applause for all of our speakers today. Princess Moon. Maria. Yasma. And D. Rose. My name is Amanda Shea. You can follow me on Instagram at Amanda Shea all day. But before you go, thank you all so much for enjoying and staying during this entire Poetry Off the Page. Give a round of applause to yourselves. That's how y'all feel about yourselves. Okay, cool. I'm not gonna I ain't gonna hold you. We hope you had a great time, and we have plenty more events occurring throughout the day, including the reading and workshops, and also at the table. Don't forget to visit our tent, tent number 10 at 100 Dartmouth Street. If you want even more ways, or you want to know, or tell a friend to tell a friend how to get involved with Mass Poetry in the weeks to come, our upcoming programming includes our community open house and our U35 reading, which will occur on November 21st at our Seaport location at 50 Liberty Drive. Yes, 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 yes. We also are so excited for our second annual Right Here, Right Now, Speak Loud Teen Spoken Word Festival on March 15th and 16th, 2025. And it's going to be in the downtown Boston area in our beloved Mass Poetry Festival on May 31st through June 2025 in Salem, Massachusetts. We want to thank our partner again, Boston Book Festival. Thank you so much for having us and giving us the time here today to do what we do. And to our workshop participants and all of the authors, we hope to see you again. And if not, we hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much. Thank you.